I'm going to go full black pill on you today because I am convinced there is an engineered compute famine underway right now. Not just a food famine or a caloric famine that's designed to ultimately create conditions that could starve, or let's say put at risk of starvation, at least 400 million people. Based on what we know already, I've already done the math on that, you know, with the fertilizer shortages and so on. But, and those are conservative numbers. It could easily be 500 million people. You know, it could be half a billion. It could be 750 million. It could be multiple billions. But on top of that, there is a compute famine being engineered. I will explain that today. And there's also an energy famine being engineered. And what's taking the compute and the energy? The data centers. The data centers, it is abundantly clear that they are not intended for the purpose that's being described to us. And I say this as a pro AI person, by the way, because I use AI every day. In fact, you may hear the fans in the background. I have, because I'm rendering video right now, I'm rendering more videos of the avatar Frank DeLuca. And just to manage the heat, this is just a little tangent. I finally found the perfect fans for this, and they're called Fantex, P-H-A-N-T-E-K-S. And no, they didn't pay me. I finally found these perfect fans. They're called T-30s, and the reason it's a 30 is because they're 30 millimeters in depth, which they're deeper than all the other fans, and the fan blades are incredibly rigid, which allows them to thrust more air through the chassis, you know, through the case of the tower, and it keeps my GPUs typically at about 80 degrees Celsius or cooler, which is really great. And the thing is, they're just loud. There's nothing I can do about it, because I record pretty close to some of my workstations in my mini data center. So if you hear those fans, that's just, it's just going to be there for a while. Probably like every night or almost every night. Anyway, understand that even what I'm describing here is pretty rare. I'm one of the people that has meticulously acquired local compute capability, even while this engineered compute famine is happening. But and again, I will explain it in detail, but the data centers are here to take your power and take your compute away from you so that open source AI can not really be distributed. It can't really succeed in the hands of the people because nobody will be able to afford the GPUs and the RAM and the compute capability to run the open source AI. And I believe this is being engineered, and I will explain exactly why. But first, let me just fill you in on the facts of what's happening. So there are really three memory companies that dominate the what's called high bandwidth memory, or HBM. And those are Micron, SK Hynix, which is a South Korean company, and then Samsung, also Korean. Now, there is a Chinese RAM manufacturer that is ramping up, coming online over the next year and a half or 2 years, and they're called Changxin Memory, or CXMT, and they are building massive manufacturing facilities. But again, it's 1.5 to 2 years out before they're going to be able to flood the marketplace with affordable RAM, if they even succeed in that. I mean, Trump could slap insane tariffs on them or just block their exports to the United States. That's probably what's going to happen, because clearly the effort is underway to deny people in Western nations access to compute. That is, you know, open source, decentralized compute. They're happy for you to use a centrally controlled, guardrailed, heavily censored, heavily surveilled AI system like Anthropic or Google or OpenAI or Microsoft or whatever, because you're using that through the cloud. So you're surveilled and they can limit you on that. What they don't want is for the people to have access to open source AI locally in a decentralized manner that can't be shut off, can't be censored, can't be surveilled, and also can't be sort of retroactively altered after the fact. And the way to prevent people from doing that is to deny them the ability to afford high bandwidth memory, because every GPU has to have high bandwidth memory in it because that's how all the, well, the temporarily stored artifacts of the linear algebra that takes place inside every AI model, that's where it's stored. It, you know, the information has to move in and out of that memory very, very quickly. And so that's why they end up using DDR7 RAM, which is very high bandwidth. It can move data in and out of the RAM very, very quickly. DDR6 is not as fast. DDR5, a little bit slower still. I've got most of my machines actually still running on DDR4 memory for the main computer and the motherboards. And that's memory that first came out in 2017 or something. It's almost obsolete, but that's just for the motherboard. Then I plug in high-end GPUs that are using today's, you know, DDR7 or whatever for the high-speed compute inside the GPU. But the computer itself, its motherboard RAM, doesn't need to be that fast. So anyway, what's happening is all of this artificial money really is flowing into these overblown, bubble-driven, you know, digital tulip bulb mania AI data center projects that are doomed to financial failure. Absolutely doomed. There is no revenue model that can justify the trillions of dollars that's being pushed into these data centers. But what it does is it causes a massive purchasing of all the RAM, the high bandwidth memory that can be made by Micron. In fact, all the RAM that Micron can manufacture through the end of the year 2027 is already sold. It's already, you know, sold out. And Micron shut down their consumer division. They're no longer going to make consumer RAM or like the SSDs, you know, Crucial brand, which is a Micron brand, I believe. And, you know, the other RDIMMs or the DIMM modules or whatever, they're not going to make any of that anymore because, well, there's just so much money in the server RAM for the data centers. And that's all by design. So what's happening is all the money is going into the hands of a few technocratic billionaires like, you know, Elon Musk and the leaders of Google and OpenAI and, you know, Anthropic and Microsoft, whatever, whoever they are. Normally not very good people. They're getting all the money. They're buying up all the microchips, and the manufacturers of RAM are shifting to the corporate landscape, and they're just tossing consumers under the bus, leaving consumers with very few affordable options. As a result, consumer RAM has gone up in price 500% now. 500%. It's insane. RAM that I was paying $100 for 2 years ago is now $500. I mean, I'm just blown away. And workstations, like I used to be able to buy an HP workstation online that would ship with 256 gigs of RAM. I could buy that thing for like $2,300 just 2 years ago. Now, the RAM alone is like $10,000 or something crazy like that. And the price increases are even affecting the older RAM. So I mentioned DDR4, which is still what I'm using. You know, my data center has a bunch of DDR4 RAM because that's what's in most of the workstations. Even that stuff is now worth a fortune. Like, I could sell my DDR4 memory for 4 or 5 times what I paid for it. And again, the net effect of this, I believe it's an engineered compute famine. The net effect is to deprive the average person of the ability to afford or to acquire any kind of desktop compute. Now, working against that trend is China. And China is releasing more and more highly capable models that can run on smaller and smaller GPUs. In fact, just today I saw that somebody, maybe it's Unsloth, I think it's Unsloth, they've released Qwen 3.8 27B, which is a 27 billion parameter model, that runs in 8 gigs of video RAM. An 8 gig video card, I don't know what they cost now, but I used to be able to buy them for like $150. They're probably not that cheap anymore. But 8 gigs, That's crazy. Now, yes, it's a one-bit model, and you give up accuracy. I think they said it has 77% of the accuracy of the original model. That's still pretty good for running on a 8-gig GPU, which is kind of like an old, you know, gamer card that are relatively dirt cheap. So China keeps releasing models that work better at smaller and smaller scale. And then the open source community like Unsloth, and I love that team at Unsloth, they really are amazing. They keep coming out with these quantizations, not just 4-bit quants, but, you know, 2 bits or 1 bit, or even, you know, offloading layers onto like an NVMe stick or something that are still usable, even though you may not have a lot of hardware. So I think the globalist effort to deprive people of compute is butting heads against China's open source models and the open source community that is making what used to be called, you know, frontier lab artificial intelligence is now becoming available on the desktop. And as an example of that, just today I set up Qwen 3.8 27B with a speculative decoding add-on. I'm not using the DFlash 2 for those of you who are tracking that. I'm using something that's built into the model, actually. And I am getting on NVIDIA hardware 90 to 100 tokens a second out of that model, which is driving. Okay, no, look. I got to show you this. That model is driving my image creation prompts that are coming out for my new course. So I just want to prove to you what I'm talking about here. Let me see if this slide would be good. So take a look at this slide. I am generating instructional slides for my new upcoming course on genetic survival. And this is one of the slides that I just generated, entitled Nutritionally Modifiable DNA Repair. And I use Qwen 3.8 27B to write the image prompt for this slide based on my talk. So I record a chapter, and then I take that chapter and I transcribe it and I send it over through some really high-end custom code, by the way. And then that custom code uses local Qwen 3.8 27B to generate the image prompt for this, and then we send it out to image generators that generates the slide. Now, I also have local image generators. They're not as good as this, so these images still are using outside API-driven image generators through OpenRouter, in this case. I could do this locally. It would take more time, and it wouldn't be as good, but that's probably going to change in the next 6 months anyway. But anyway, I just want to show you the power to communicate and the power to have local intelligence through machines to help organize information and teach and educate and visualize information. In this case, as you can see from the slide, I'm talking about how radiation damages your DNA, but also spike protein damages your DNA. But if you can support NAD+, which is part of your cellular energy, and if you have the right minerals, and if you have the right nutrients and antioxidants and dietary nucleotides, that's really critical. And by the way, the number one source of that is chlorella. But if you add all of that in, then you can repair your DNA. And in fact, I have, you know, a whole course on this that's over 20 hours in duration. And as you can see from the URL on the slide, that course will be live at geneticsurvival.com, or at least a link to the course, because that course is launching on brightu.com Saturday, August 29th. So that's just a little over 1 week away, and it's free and it's powerful. And it's going to feature literally hundreds of these instructional slides. So there's not just me talking about this stuff, it's mapping it out and showing it to you right there. Well, that's the power of open source distributed cognition. And that power is something that the globalists do not want you to have. Hence, compute famine. Compute famine. And the next part of this is electricity famine. Power shortages. That's also being engineered into the system, I believe on purpose. The data centers are using all the electricity. Well, wait, I shouldn't say all. The data centers, well, let me give you an example. In Texas, just the data centers that are requesting connections to the Texas grid by the year, I think, 2032, if the Texas grid were to say yes to all of the requests, the Texas grid would have to triple its entire output of electricity within the next, what is it, like 6 years. That's not going to happen. These data centers are hungry for power at a scale that we have never seen before in human civilization. In fact, some people think that these data centers are somehow actually just a cover story for powering vast underground cities and things like that. I don't know. I'm not going there. I think they're just powering like world simulators and things like that, that are very power hungry. And, you know, surveillance systems, all kinds of things. But the truth is the data centers aren't even all online yet. They're building a lot of them, so they haven't even really begun to consume the power that they will within the next year and, you know, the year after that as well. Humans are going to be left behind in this equation. PJM interconnection, the Eastern power grid serving 13 states and, what is it, 65 million Americans, they've already announced that by June of 2027, they can't guarantee that they can keep the lights on peak days in particular. See, they normally have to have a certain buffer for peak days. It could be very hot days or very cold days. They've said come June 2027, it's, you know, good luck. Good luck. We just don't have the power coming online. Not happening. So mark my words, we're going to be living, if you live in America, you're going to be living in a country where there will be rolling blackouts on all the grids, the Eastern grid, the Texas grid, the Florida grid, the Western grid, probably even those of you in Hawaii, you know, you have your own grids there, but hey, there's a lot of solar in Hawaii anyway, so the people in Hawaii know how to live off grid. I mean, a lot of them do, and that's very smart. And, you know, you have plenty of sunshine there. It's a great place to have solar. But then again, all your food has to arrive by boat. So it's a trade-off, right? But anyway, in the continental United States, when the power goes out, what happens to your AI project? Oh, it's interrupted, right? You're screwed, for at least for that render or that video or that project or that prompt or whatever. And then you can't do any computing with your AI system. You can't do any research. You can't do any writing. You can't do anything. That's what they want. They want you dumbed down and cut off from power and cut off from compute while they're also causing food famine. So it's a triple threat. And then they're trying to kill you with the mRNA jabs, obviously. And they're probably going to try to kill you with nuclear detonations as the war gets underway. And they're trying to kill you with microplastics and hormone disruptors and everything else that they're doing. So it's a giant mass extermination death cult that's running the world, and they're trying to take away your compute and your electricity and your food, and they will succeed at some level. I think they will kill billions of people in the years ahead. They will kill billions of people. But you know who they won't kill? People who see this coming and who prepare in advance. So this is why smart people are going off-grid solar now. Not grid-tie solar, but off-grid solar. And, oh, by the way, I am about to receive, as a loaner vehicle, I am about to receive an electric-powered skid steer piece of equipment. It's showing up at my studio pretty soon. And assuming it arrives, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to demonstrate it. I'm going to do some land work there, actually getting that area ready for some additional solar installs. But I'm going to show you how you can run a skid steer with a bucket on the front. You know, you can move dirt. You can You can fix roads. You can lift things. You can put forks on it. It can be kind of like a makeshift forklift. You can unload things off your truck or whatever. There's all kinds of things you can do. You can move compost around, you know, for your garden, whatever. And it doesn't need any diesel. It's entirely run on sunlight. So I've got some demo solar panels there. And I've got the Pecron, what's the model? Like the F5000 or the E5000, whatever. It's the 5000 model. Big, heavy thing. It stores about 5 kilowatt hours. And I'm charging that with sunlight. And then I'm using that battery system to charge the electric skid steer. This is the kind of thing that self-reliant people are going to do. They're going to bypass the power grid wherever they can. They're going to have their own local hardware for AI compute locally. They're going to have electric machines, which pretty soon could include open source robots and things like that. But electric machines to help them on the garden, on the ranch, on the farm, that you can charge with sunlight. And then they're going to grow some of their own food with the help of all of that automation and energy. See, when you have energy sovereignty, then you can live as a free person. Then you have cognition sovereignty. You have local AI compute. You can do things. You can have machines think through problems. You can have machines write freaking code, right? Or create pictures or infographics or videos or whatever. Or answer technical questions that you have, like, how do I do this? You know, how do I build this? How do I solve this problem? AI is great for that locally. So you can bypass the energy scarcity. You can bypass the diesel scarcity, which is going to get way worse towards the end of this year, mark my words. And you can partially bypass the food scarcity. Meanwhile, there's going to be billions of people around the world who are facing the risk of death from starvation or lack of energy or, you know, war, nuclear fallout, radiation, spike protein fallout. While the establishment is pushing more mRNA jabs, excuse me, just to try to kill people as rapidly as possible. They've even started touting like, oh, mRNA, you know, it treats cancer. It's so awesome. It reduces cancer. It's exactly the opposite of what it does. It gives you turbo cancer. But they're trying to kill the dumb people who are dumb enough to believe anything that the establishment tells them. Again, that's the low-hanging fruit of mass human extermination. The globalists know this. They're like, who can we kill easily? You know, who can we convince to just kill themselves? That's the dumbasses who believe in vaccines and Fauci and whatever. They're going to be the first to go. And yeah, we try to save them. We've tried hard for years to save them. But when they go, you know, that's on them. That's their choice. They took the jabs. But after that, there's also going to be, you know, engineered food famine, engineered energy famine, engineered compute famine, and probably more land seizures and trying to corral people into 15-minute cities. And the reason they're called 15-minute cities is because they don't want you to live longer than 15 minutes if they could help it. They really want you in concentration camps, but they're going to have to come up with more scare stories to try to convince people to go, oh, it's the, you know, it's the Hydra virus or whatever. It's the Gorgon Hydra Medusa virus, you know, just start citing Greek mythology. The Medusa virus, it's got like 8 heads and you need to go to this camp for your safety, you know, and everybody that shows up there just ends up dead in a ditch, you know, while the globalists are clapping like these dumbasses. They went to the camps themselves. Unbelievable. People will do that. They're just that stupid. So anyway, I'm sorry to black pill you on this. I warned you I would. But the good news in all of this is that you can prepare to survive this. You can have your own power. And by the way, there's breakthrough new technology also out of China. Sodium ion batteries coming out later this year. You're going to be able to get sodium ion batteries that will cycle a daily charge discharge cycle for 80 years. You'll be able to buy those in 2027 for sure, coming out of China with a massive temperature range tolerance. They'll work at minus 40 C. minus 40 C. Those of you listening in Canada, pay attention. You think batteries suck, and they do, but these batteries will work, even in your freezing winters. And then for those of you in Texas or other hot places, Phoenix, these batteries also work at crazy hot temperatures, like over, I'm going to use Fahrenheit here, over, what is it, 160 degrees Fahrenheit, I think. Depends on the battery, you should read the specs, but they work at ridiculously high temperatures. Maybe it's only 150 for some batteries, but that's hot. That's, you know, you're not going to get that hot in your barn, I don't think, or in your garage, I hope. Or just the outdoors is not going to get that hot. You know, if the outdoor temperature reaches 150 degrees, then, you know, half the world's going to fry. So you're going to want these batteries, but these kinds of technology achievements can set you free. The thing is, you're going to need funds to buy all this stuff. And that is what gold and silver are for, by the way. You may have noticed that gold just spiked up, I don't know, $130 in one day again. Yeah, it's because the U.S. just hit $40 trillion in the official national debt. The real numbers are hundreds of trillions of dollars if you include, you know, entitlements and long-term outlays and so on. Of course, they're hiding much of the debt. But $40 trillion officially, $40 trillion, which is a number that's almost unimaginable. The empire's, it's in a state of collapse. The dollar's dying. The military has proven to be useless. Trump is taking America down a dark, dark hole into like the dumpster fire of history at this point. And yet, you know, the dollar is going to become worthless. So, and the stock market is going to crash hard, hard, you know, because it's held up by OpenAI and Anthropic and Google. Well, maybe Anthropic's not public yet, but these public AI companies and semiconductors and tech companies, they're holding up this whole fake market, this giant Ponzi scheme. When this thing comes tumbling down, it's going to destroy trillions of dollars in apparent wealth. And that doesn't even count what happens if Japan starts selling off treasuries. And maybe you saw what happened. There was an emergency buyback of U.S. Treasury debt because they're trying to refinance the treasuries. You know, there was a spike in the 30-year rates. I think they hit 5.3%. The 10-year is still below 5%, but that's getting dangerously hot also. You see where this is going. So one of the ways that they will make sure you can't buy solar equipment or, you know, an electric ranch buggy or, you know, a computer with a GPU or RAM in it, whatever. The way they make sure you can't afford that is to destroy your dollar. And since most people only have dollars or stocks denominated in dollars or other investment vehicles in dollars, well, you know, through some kind of a fund, some kind of investment service, you know, Robinhood or whatever, you don't own any of that. You don't have self-custody or money in a bank. You don't have self-custody. The bank has it. When the dollar collapses, everybody's going to lose everything in the dollar. The people who will still have something of value are those holding gold and silver physically in their own self-custody. Those people are going to be the new wealthy. And then at that point, you'll be able to trade gold coins for entire solar systems or, you know, GPUs, server racks full of GPUs if you want, or robots, you know, or electric vehicles or electric skid steers or, you know, or land or whatever, whatever you want. Maybe like water producing land or crop producing land or land with really great soils on it, etc. You'll use gold and silver, I think. This is where I think this is going. You'll use gold and silver to trade for the assets that can keep you sovereign, that can help you live off-grid. And if you don't have gold or silver, you're screwed. You're just screwed. Because the dollar won't be worth jack. And it'll all be controlled, all kinds of gatekeepers, everything. Gold and silver have universal liquidity and universal recognition of value. So those of you sitting on physical gold and silver, hold on to that. That is your life savings that will survive the dollar collapse that is accelerating. And when the time is right, don't be bashful about trading gold and silver for a solar system that gives you energy, you know, or computing equipment that gives you machine cognition, you know, those kinds of things. That's totally justifiable. And I should tell you right now, you can buy solar panels at a fraction, like 1/10 the price that they were, let's say, 10 years ago. It's insanely cheap to buy solar panels right now, which is crazy. When you think about everything else is going up, but solar panels keep getting cheaper. And the battery prices keep getting cheaper. Lithium iron phosphate, not to mention sodium ion coming online. And then the inverter controllers, etc., they're semi-expensive because they use a lot of copper components. But you only have to buy one, you know, one inverter that can run your house. And from there, you just need wire. And yeah, the wire can get a little pricey, you know, 50 cents a foot, let's say, for some of the PV wire. You just need a bunch of panels. The panels are cheap. And once you throw a panel out there, you know, these panels today, like let's say you buy a panel that's 400 watt panel. In the sun, you're going to get 400 watts. And that panel is going to produce that, as long as there's sun, for 35 years or so. That's the current technology. They will last 35 years. Some of these panel manufacturers have a 20 or 25 or even a 30 year warranty I've seen. Unbelievable. What? It's like, buy it once and I get free energy. I get 400 watts every hour that the sun is up for 35 years? Yes. Yes. And I understand the upfront investment can be, you know, it can tax you, right? It can be a lot of money up front. But over time, and the fact that you have energy sovereignty, the fact that they can't turn off the lights on you because you're no longer depending entirely on the grid, what's that worth? That's priceless, man. That is priceless. It's probably a good idea to stockpile solar panels, you know, the barter items, and just make sure you have the PV wire as well and the MC4 connectors and, you know, just common solar components are going to be extremely valuable. At least that's my assessment. And I'm usually the guy that's like 5 years ahead of the curve on this kind of stuff. But I don't think I'm 5 years ahead. I think I'm only a couple years ahead on this, but this is coming. It's just things are accelerating, so it's coming faster than maybe you would want. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and panic buy a solar system and panic sell your gold to buy solar panels. I mean, you have some time to think about this, to plan this. You have some time. Not a lot, but some. And you can use AI now to help answer your questions. You can use AI to do research. It's very good at that. I use it for research all the time. So this is how you achieve sovereignty, to have your own power. And then, you know, one day you're going to have robots, open source robots, and you're going to need to power the robots. So you're going to use sunlight to power your robots. You don't want to be on the grid with a smart meter where they know what you're doing, right? And even eventually ranch equipment, you'll have battery powered tractors, which I used to laugh about that a few years ago because it was a hilarious idea. You know, you can't really put lithium iron phosphate in tractors and a lot of construction equipment. It just gets too hot. But sodium ion coming along now, sodium ion, you'll see those first in excavators because excavators they crawl on tracks very slowly, and you need the weight as a counterbalance on the back of the excavator. So sodium ion is big and heavy, perfect for excavators. You won't need to add ballast. You just have the battery pack in the back. You know, because an excavator has a giant arm with a bucket out front, right? So you have to have extra weight in the back. Otherwise, you tip forward all the time. Ask me how I know. Guilty as charged, but no harm done. I just let go of the rock and everything is fine. But you need ballast in the back. Sodium ion is going to be perfect for that. You're going to have battery-powered excavators, battery-powered skid steers, battery-powered tractors, battery-powered everything. And that means you can bypass the Strait of Hormuz. You can bypass fossil fuels. And I don't believe any of the climate alarmism nonsense out there. I'm just talking about freedom, sovereignty, have your own energy. Get it from the sun. Every square meter of land that you have on your property is like free energy from God. You know, it's like, what? Electricity falls out of the sky? Yes. You just have to capture it with a photovoltaic panel. That's it. Free electricity falls out of the sky. You can be your own power grid. Just like if you have gold and silver, you are being your own central bank. If you have your own garden, you are being your own grocery store to some extent, right? Or if you have your own open source AI running locally, you can be your own machine cognition hub. You see what I mean? Or if you have self-custody of your crypto, you can be your own, you know, crypto reserve. I mean, it's the same principle across all of these domains. This is what will keep you alive. This is what will keep you free. And everything I've been teaching here for years has been building up to this moment in history to get you ready for what's coming. A massive, global, systemic, highly catastrophic collapse. Collapse of the dollar, collapse of the U.S. empire, collapse of civility, collapse of the rule of law, collapse of the power grid, collapse of food grids, you know, centralized food production, etc. This is all coming. Is it survivable? Yes, absolutely, in all the ways I'm talking about here. Will most people survive it? Probably not, because they don't know what you know. They have no familiarity with the concepts that you and I are talking about here. And they never saved any money. Most people, they don't have anything to be able to get solar panels or batteries or off-grid systems or grow their own food. They may not even have a piece of land for a small garden or whatever. They don't know this information. So, of course, you and I want to help as many people as we can, help the less fortunate. But the best way we can help right now is to teach these principles, help people get ready before the shit hits the fan. And that's what I'm doing right now. And you can help me do this by sharing this podcast. Just send it to a friend. You know, now on X, you can't share Brighteon.com links, but you can share brightvideos.com and you can share naturalnews.com. So you'll find more of my videos at brightvideos.com. And also coming up soon, like I said, August 29th, we're launching the genetic survival course. You'll be able to access that at geneticsurvival.com. There'll be a link there that takes you to BrightU for the live streaming, the free streaming, which will be augmented by all these visuals that I'm showing you, or I showed you one of them. There's hundreds of them, by the way. So, history is unfolding. You either embrace the reality of where we are, or you get steamrolled by it. But if you're listening to this, you're well ahead of the crowd. You are in the top 1% easily of the most prepared, the most informed, the brightest, etc. So you're going to have a lot of options here. You're going to be well prepared. You're going to be able to help a lot of people. You're going to be able to, if you want, you know, acquire land or businesses or vehicles or things like that. If that's your goal, yeah, you could do that. But I'm just happy to be able to teach principles that can help you survive this, to just to get through it and to protect your genetic code from the radiation fallout and the spike protein fallout and the vaccine shedding and all of that. What I'm teaching in this upcoming free course is genetic survival, how to protect your genetic code. Because as that slide I showed you earlier, it was entitled Nutritionally Modifiable DNA Repair. Think about that concept. It means that things you eat can accelerate your repair of your genetic code. That's a fact. And it's a powerful fact that can save your life. It can halt the development of turbo cancers. And it can save your future generations because it can stop the DNA mutations of your germ cells that create heritable mutations for future generations. We know how to stop the DNA lesions and the mutations and the excisions, the additions, the adductions, all of that. We know, and the deaminations, there's another one that happens with extra aminos. Yeah, all kinds of fun stuff can happen to your DNA. we know how to stop it all. And you're about to learn that coming up in a little more than 1 week. Very powerful. All right. So if you want to follow my work, I'll do my best to give you all the best solutions, all the best knowledge for how to survive. And I think that you will benefit from this tremendously. So thank you for listening. And follow me on brightvideos.com and naturalnews.com. I'm Mike Adams, and by the way, our sponsor is also the Satellite Phone Store. So check out SAT123, as they have backup solar generators, battery storage systems, solar panels, dark bags for, you know, basically the Faraday bags to protect your electronics against EMP effects of solar, or I'm sorry, of nuclear blasts, things like that. And they have satellite phones on top of that. So check them out at sat123.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Take care.
Astaxanthin is nature's ultimate antioxidant. Experience the unmatched potency of one of nature's most powerful antioxidants with lab-verified astaxanthin supplements at the Health Ranger Store. Only at healthrangerstore.com.